This is the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Couldn't he who have opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, there is already a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Who are we? Who are we today? In this gospel reading, you get a familiar and loved story. Not necessarily loved because we understand it, but loved because it speaks such promise and it is so vivid. Jesus is out off a ways with his disciples, and word comes that his dear friend Lazarus, who's the brother of Mary and Martha, who have had this special relationship with Jesus, Lazarus is ill. He's at the point of death. And Jesus, to his disciples' surprise, against expectations, doesn't immediately go to him. Jesus, who has been healing people, Jesus, who has been wandering the countryside, doing miracles, and his dear friends now in need of this miracle of healing, and Jesus stays put. For 2 days, Jesus stays. Then after that, he goes. Along the roadway, heading towards where Lazarus and Mary and Martha live, heading towards the village of Bethany, Martha comes first. She hears that he's coming, and she goes out to him and says, "Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Martha, who has been near to her brother, who loved him, was dear to him, and he was dear to her, comes in her grief. And then pretty soon, her sister Mary comes as well. And the same words, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Sometimes we're Mary and Martha. Today, as we remember the names of those and call forth the presence of those who have died in this last year, who are connected here at Christ the King, some of those names, some of the pictures that we saw up on the screen, were people who were near and dear to some of you. Some of these people were close to you, perhaps as close as Lazarus was to Mary and Martha, perhaps closer. And in grief and loss, sometimes we feel that death comes at an appropriate time, the end of a long life, and we can celebrate that life, and sometimes death comes when we're not expecting it. It's a shock. And we wonder if God couldn't have done something. As a pastor, I have gotten to be with a lot of people, like Mary and Martha. In addition to grief of my own, I've been with people in their grief. And it started early. My internship in Iowa was with a man, Scott, who was still a young man. His kids had just graduated high school. He and his wife were making plans for what to do now that they were empty nesters, full of life and energy. And then the accident happened. Scott's wife was driving home on one of the winding rural Iowa roads, and someone came over the curve a bit too fast, and the car drifted across the lane, and there was an accident. And suddenly, she was gone. Sometimes death comes, and we wonder if God couldn't have done something, anything, to prevent it. Sometimes we're Mary and Martha. Lord, if you had been here, they wouldn't have died. Sometimes we're not that close to the grief. We're a step removed. The grief is someone near to us, but perhaps we're just one step removed. It's not our family, but the family of our neighbors. It's not our spouse, but the spouse of our friends. As we look at the names that flash up on the screen and the pictures, all of us can recognize up there someone that we knew, that we were there to grieve with. Sometimes we're the neighborhood, the Jews that had come to be with Mary and Martha, the crowd that was around Jesus as they were rolling the stone away, the crowd for which Jesus said his prayer. Sometimes, as the neighborhood, we're adjacent to the grief, not necessarily directly affected, but also not necessarily sure how to help, how to do anything other than grieve along with them. In this last year and a half, the world has seen a lot of grief. Not just through the regular ebbs and flows of life and death, but from this pandemic, from this virus, and has brought extra grief here, there, and everywhere. The numbers now in Minnesota total nearly 9,000 people who have died from this disease. Not one of us is probably unable to think of someone, either in our own families, in our own lives, or someone who was close to someone that we know who has died from COVID. 750,000 people have died in the U.S. alone. 5 million people across the world have died from this disease. The entire world right now is the crowd around the grieving. Not really sure what to do. Not really sure how to help. Not sure if there is help. Just sure that there's grief. Later that year, in my internship, there was another accident. This time, the victim was younger. Her name was Haley. She was just 17. She was a senior and was just headed over to her grandparents' house and pulling in their driveway on the rural country road when over the hill came a car didn't see her and was going too fast and crashed into her, killing her instantly. Her mother, Natalie, was just a single mom, not sure what to do in the world now. Natalie, in that moment, was Mary and Martha. Scott, in that moment, was part of the crowd now. Nearby this grief, touched by it in a deep way, not really sure how to help. And the whole city mourned. The whole neighborhood mourned with Natalie, the death of her daughter. Sometimes in grief, we just need to be together and mourn. And that's maybe why, part of why this pandemic has been so hard, with so much grief. And yet the regular ways of grieving have been far from us. We haven't been able to gather as freely, to share a meal, to share comfort. Some people have put off funerals for months or even years. The grieving process has halted, and in some ways we've been stuck. Thankfully, we've been beginning to work our way out of that as vaccinations have come and we've been able to reopen a little bit. But still, even now, the sharing of food is done with hesitation, and singing together songs of faith is done, or not, just done by vaccinated soloists, choirs, or recordings. Sometimes we're the neighborhood and we're not sure what to do. Sometimes, though, we're Lazarus. We feel dead. Maybe not really dead, because we're all here breathing this morning, but dead inside, dead in a way that we don't know what life means for us anymore. Bound up, shut away, wrapped in darkness. Sometimes grief brings us into the tomb itself and leaves us there alone, bound up and not sure how to move forward. Scott and Natalie were both Lazarus that year. Not sure how to go ahead, not sure what to do. Not sure if life still had the meaning that it once did. Not sure what the meaning was now, if it had any. Bound and shut away. Yearning for a call, even if they didn't know it. Sometimes we're Lazarus. And sometimes we're saints. Like Jesus. For a saint is one who has faith in Jesus, and having faith in Jesus means following Jesus, and following Jesus means acting like Jesus, loving like Jesus, speaking like Jesus, doing the things that Jesus does. Jesus says, "You will do these things that I do, and even greater than these." And here Jesus is calling life out of a tomb of death. And sometimes, dear friends, we are saints like Jesus. Given a word, given an opportunity to be a people who call life out of the tombs of death, not just for our sake, not just for the sake of the individual affected, but for the sake of the whole neighborhood. Sometimes we're like Jesus. We're the one who can help when someone is living out of their car, not sure where the next gallon of gas is going to come from, not sure how the car will stay warm in the night as it gets colder. Sometimes we're like Jesus, and we can speak a word and offer a help that brings hope in a hopeless situation. Sometimes we're like Jesus, and we can be a community where people who have never been able to find belonging in any other community in their lives, maybe not in their family, maybe not in their friends' circles, can come to church and find here a community where there is belonging for anyone who needs it. Sometimes we can be like the saints and like Jesus. Sometimes we can be saints and offer that belonging when it seems like there is nowhere to belong. Sometimes we can be Jesus. Sometimes we can be saints. And we can speak a word of hope into hopelessness. We can speak a word of life into death. We can speak a word against all the problems of this world because we can see that this is not the way it needs to be. Because saints don't have vision just for the world as it is, but can see the world as it ought to be. Can see the world as it is when all are free. Can speak that word of life and freedom and justice for all into a world that seems deaf to it. And yet speaking that word into the world, even in the midst of a crowd that wouldn't believe, can call life, can call hope out of the tomb. Sometimes we're saints. Scott would come to be one who found himself being called out from the tomb by the power of the church, and Natalie as well. In their church community, they found something to give their lives meaning again. They found people to care for. They found people to be loved by. They found people to love. Scott would, as part of his process of moving on in life and understanding his grieving, go on to be a Stephen minister in that community, one of the first ones, and a Stephen leader as well, someone who would organize this program of care for those who were in need. Scott found a calling. He would come to preach, to be able to offer a word of hope and faith for a congregation, not because of his own goodness, but because Jesus called life into him and out of him, and he was sainted to do the same. God is doing amazing things. Sometimes God is calling us to be those saints and do that with him. So who are we this morning? If we're like Scott, we might be all of these people. We might find ourselves in each aspect of this story. But let's also be like Scott and find hope in it as well. And when we hear that liberating voice calling out, "Lazarus, come out," let us be the speaker and the hearer both. Amen.